The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What up, world? Welcome one and all to another episode of Ocho Live, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name, RJ Ocho. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on Ocho Live. Welcome to a special podcast-only edition of the show. You can check out our live shows every single day, about 3 p.m. Central Time. Sometimes we have to adjust. You know how life is. Things get crazy. Things get hectic. It's fall. It's September. We're going to wake up Green Day when it's over, like we do every year. And so these are crazy times. It is week two of the NFL season, and the Dallas Cowboys, who are 0-1, have a date this Sunday night on NBC. The Green Zone will be there. Carrie Underwood will intro us. You know how all of that jazz goes. We got to get rid of this Green Zone. I'm gonna start a movement to get rid of this atrocity. But either way, the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Football Giants will begin their first matchup of the season on Sunday Night Football. It will definitely be big time. And you think about this, the Cowboys are 0-1, the Giants 0-1 after their season opening loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And nobody wants to be 0-2, and nobody wants to have a division loss. And if you're the Cowboys, you certainly don't want to have a home division loss, and you certainly don't want a division loss on top of a conference loss. So this is a big time sort of standoff. It will be epic. It will be awesome. It will be big. And because it will be big, we brought in Big Blue View. That's right. We brought in Ed Valentine, managing editor of Big Blue View, SB Nation's New York Giants website. And I love doing this here because as proud members of Blogging the Boys, we love and respect our SB Nation colleagues, and they have their fingers on the pulse of their team better than anybody else. That's why we stick in-house. So Ed Valentine joined me for a conversation about this Sunday's upcoming Cowboys and Giants football game. It will be a great time. Sit back, relax, and listen as Ed and I explore what to look for this Sunday between the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. You're listening to Ocho Live, presented by Blogging the Boys. We are now convening two SB Nation properties. This is a big family show. We have Blogging the Boys and Big Blue View. I'm RJ Ochoa, obviously, of BTB. And here we have Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Ed, we did it. We crossed over. This is the big crossover.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're actually trying to get along here a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, the Dallas Cowboys and New York Giants squaring off this Sunday night on NBC. Not the season opener. You know, they delayed it a week, so it's not the typical, you know, sort of thing we're used to. It's a week off, so everything's a little different.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's Sunday night's always, you know, it's going to be a late night for us. I know that, you know, but national spotlight. Cowboys, Giants, at least, at least this year we didn't open the season against each other.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but we both opened with losses, which is kind of terrible if you really think about it. And both lost to former expansion teams. So we're both kind of feeling low, you know, but I think we both feel like this could be the week that we turn it around. And of course, and nobody wants to fall to 0-2. Obviously, the 93 Cowboys came back from that 0-2 start, and obviously the 07 Giants as well. So these are two teams who, and I guarantee you that's said on the broadcast. Oh, both these teams know what it's like to come back from 0-2, you know what I mean?
Oh, sure. But you and I both know the numbers. I mean, I actually ran them, last night, looking at a post that I did at Big Blue View. And I think it's 91 teams since 2007, and only 10 of those have made the playoffs if they start 0-2. So we both know the significance of Sunday night.
Well, it's definitely big, and I'm not saying that obviously the loss would be worse one way or the other, but I mean, at least the Giants' one loss is to an AFC team. You know, I mean, if you're going to lose, that's the type of loss you want. Whereas the Cowboys, if they're 0-2, they're 0-1 in the division, and they've also got a loss to a potential wild card team in the Panthers. So I do feel like there's just a larger sense of pressure. This is our first look at Saquon Barkley and Zeke Elliott on the same field against one another. Obviously, former Big Ten running backs. Obviously, Saquon drafted in this stadium, which is something else I'm sure will be said. What do you think we'll see from Saquon? I think a lot of BT beaters are curious about that. Obviously, he had the big run in week one against the Jaguars, but other than that was, I don't want to say unimpressive, but just didn't light the world on fire.
Well, here's what I think, and I actually wrote this on Big Blue View on Monday as well. What you saw from Barkley is largely, I think, what you're going to get. A lot of ho-hum, something that looks pedestrian, and then all of a sudden, bang, something big, mm-hmm. something spectacular. I think that's a lot of what you're going to get. That was his history at Penn State, and I think that's what he is. He's a spectacular, big play guy. You're going to see a lot of runs that are 1 yard, a lot of runs that go nowhere. You might see a lot of times at the line of scrimmage. I heard guys on the Giants radio broadcast on Sunday go, he's really got to turn his shoulders upfield and take a yard when it's there instead of lose a yard. But when you give him an inch and you give him a chance to make a guy miss with some space, whether it's as a runner or a passer, he's going to do some absolutely spectacular things.
I think that that's very fair, and I think the same might be true for Zeke. Obviously, the Cowboys offense got off to a lethargic start in the first game of the season. I don't know how aware you are of this, but kind of continuing their lethargic end to last season, the Cowboys have scored in the single digits in 5 of their last 9 games, which I guess kind of leads me to this question. What are you most excited about? I know that sounds really weird, but what part of the Cowboys as a Giants fan are you just kind of licking your chops on? Just saying, oh, thank God we got the Cowboys this week because of blank.
Oh, I don't really know that I've actually thought about it in those terms, RJ. I mean, when I look at it, though, I look at the Cowboys and I look at Dak Prescott and I just look at their offense and I think, he has nobody to throw the football to. I'm sorry. It just looks, from the outside, from a guy that doesn't study Dallas every day, like this is a team because they don't really, Jason Witten retired. They don't have Dez anymore. It just looks like a team where you can load up the box, really get after Zeke Elliott, and really try to force Dak Prescott to win games when he doesn't have a lot of weapons outside that can win one-on-one.
Unfortunately, I think that that's probably fairly accurate. And, I mean, you mentioned loading up the box, obviously, against Zeke. Last week against the Panthers, the Cowboys faced a quote-unquote loaded box 53.3% of the time. The NFL average was 38.7% of the time last season. So, I mean, I feel like that just goes to show you kind of your point. On the Panthers at least weren't scared. The Panthers are saying, yeah, we're going to load the box way more often than usual because we know the Cowboys can't beat us outside, and unfortunately the Cowboys didn't.
Yeah, I think that's going to be something that the Cowboys are going to have to face. I mean, let me turn that around on you when you look at when you look at the Giants. What are you kind of, licking your chops at, as far as matchups or when you look at that team?
Well, I mean, I think the easy place to go, and I say this as respectfully as I can, is Eli. Because you just don't know what Eli you're going to get. Now, obviously, I feel like a lot of Cowboys fans have gone to bed quite angry because of Eli Manning. Obviously, you know, I mentioned that 07 team. Certainly, Eli is responsible for one of the worst days of our lives, circa early 2008. But Eli is kind of the point of contention. And I know that the Giants offensive line is obviously revamped, and Will Hernandez was a draft target of many Cowboys fans. But I mean, the Cowboys have sort of a bevy of pass rushers. DeMarcus Lawrence looked like he returned to form in the season opener. And so I think that you're licking your chops if you're a Cowboys fan saying, okay, we've got this impressive defensive line. We really kind of trust our defense as a whole. Eli is a little bit prone to this. He's a little bit prone to that. So I think that Eli could be kind of the swing point if you're a Cowboys fan. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Here's what I will say about Eli Manning. I disagree with the contention when it comes to Eli that you don't know what you're going to get. You've now had 14 years and the beginning of a 15th season. I think you know exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get a guy who isn't real mobile in the pocket, who uses play action really, really well. You're going to get a guy who will take some risks with the football, who may not be a guy who's going to hit everybody exactly in between the numbers, you know, on every short slant pass or whatever. But when I look at it, you're going to get a guy who, given the time, if the offensive line protects him, you know, given the time, I think he's a guy that I've always said can win football games given the time and given wide receivers who actually catch the football. I mean, the Giants led the NFL in dropped passes a year ago, and they led the NFL in dropped passes by a humongous margin. They had a couple of critical drops again on Sunday. You know, I guess I can also say this about Eli. There was some gnashing of teeth about his play on Sunday. I think he went 23 of 37. I looked at that game, and I absolutely don't understand the Eli bashing crowd that wants to blame that loss on him. Out of what I saw, 37 throws, I saw one that he missed. Granted, that one that he missed was a throw in the end zone, but I think it's really, really difficult to blame a loss on a guy when in reality he missed one throw out of 37 attempts.
I think that's fair. You know, I certainly think that's fair, and obviously you have to consider that the Giants were facing the Jaguars last week, and that's a formidable defense, and I think the same can be said of the Cowboys and the Panthers. But yeah, I mean, I think this game's going to be great. You know, I think this game's going to be really interesting. If you had to kind of sort of pinpoint, you know, if the Giants are able to successfully blank, that's what sets this as a win for the Giants. You know what I mean? Like, what's the one thing that you feel like has to be accomplished in order for the Cowboys? I mean, if Cowboys, obviously, but for the Giants to get the W on Sunday.
Well, I'll give you one on offense and one on defense, RJ. And the one on offense we already touched on. You know, Dallas does have an impressive front seven. The Giants have a revamped offensive line, which I don't know how much credit you want to give to Jacksonville and how much blame you want to give to the Giants, you know, on Sunday. But that offensive line really struggled against the Jaguars. So for me, it comes down to giving Eli Manning some time, and actually also on first and second down, you know, doing enough in the run game so that they're in second and six instead of second and 11 all the time. And on defense, it comes down to the way I look at it, loading that box, controlling Zeke Elliott, and making Dak Prescott try to win the game.
I don't think that that's a wrong way to go about it. I mean, I think we have yet to see Dak win a game on his own in some time. You know, the last time this Cowboys offense really looked like themselves was the, you know, middle of last season against the Kansas City Chiefs after that big Tyreek Hill Hail Mary. So, yeah, I mean, if Dak's able to do it, I think the Cowboys are able to win on Sunday. But outside of that, I certainly think it is a little bit of tough sledding.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Let me flip that question around on you, RJ. What are the one or two things you're looking at that you think Dallas absolutely has to do to win the game?
Well, I think obviously, you know, as a defense, they have to control Eli Manning and they have to control Saquon Barkley because while, you know, and you were right that you know what you're going to get from Eli Manning, what I really meant was in terms of not knowing was, you know, are you going to get the Eli Manning that torches the Cowboys? I mean, because it's been a little while since we've seen that. Or are you going to get this Eli that is a little, as you said, a little bit more stagnant, a little bit more just kind of stuck in the pocket. And so I think it's limiting that. When the Cowboys have lost to the Giants, it's been because Eli Manning destroyed them. And it's been, you know, because they couldn't get anything done against the Giants' top defense or whatever. So I think if you're a Cowboys fan, you want to obviously limit Eli Manning. You want to stop Saquon Barkley. And I know the Giants' defense isn't, at least right at this moment, on par with their 2016 team. That's still a really good, you know, front seven. And obviously, Snacks Harrison is a great guy and somebody who's given the Cowboys fits. And so I think that if you're the Cowboys, you've got to beat all those guys. And that's a lot of players, but that's why it's a tough game.
Let me ask you this, RJ. I will say, you know, the Giants have a new head coach, new general manager. There are 30 new players who weren't with the Giants last year on this 53-man roster. This is a team that despite losing on Sunday to Jacksonville, this is a team that feels good about the path that it's on. It feels good about itself. It feels much better, you know, than they did about last year when they went 3-13. They don't think that's going to happen again. So it's, like I said, it's a team that feels good about themselves. With where the Cowboys are right now, what's the feeling that you get about how Dallas feels about itself?
I think they're confident, and you know, maybe they're a little overconfident. I've said for a few seasons now, the Cowboys seem, you know, as a front office, a little arrogant. When I say that, people get upset, but you can be arrogant and that be a good thing. You know, if you're arrogant and you can justify your arrogance, well, hey, you know, if you've got Zeke Elliott and you've got this powerful offensive line, you say, we're going to run the ball, we're going to run, and you do it, well, hey, you had every right to feel arrogant. But arrogance can also lead to foolishness, and arrogance can lead to overconfidence. And so right now, I think the Cowboys think that they've got a lot going on that's working in the right direction, and it doesn't seem like it is, at least after 1 week of the season. So right now, I think the Cowboys think they have a plan. It's just a matter of whether or not that plan is going to be successful.
RJ, hey, I really appreciate your doing this. This was a lot of fun. I think that you and I should do this again, you know, later on in the season. But right now, I think, you know, we should probably wrap this up.
Hey, Ed, it was a lot of fun, and I agree. We'll certainly circle back when the Cowboys get ready to visit New York. I hope you guys lose every game of the season, if I'm being honest with myself. And I hope you enjoy it. You know, I hope that you find personal joy and personal pride and happiness along that ride.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I don't even know where to go with that one, RJ. All right. Thank you much. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one, Ed.
Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me. Oh, what you gonna do? Do you wanna get down? Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me.
My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form
the Shutdown Fullcast.
Voltron!
I keep telling you, we're not Voltron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
Bears in video games.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts, or coaches making terrible decisions, or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.